Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. This is the time we release our children and volunteers to Children's Church. So I want to invite you guys to head back in that direction. The rest of us, if you take your Bible and turn to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. We started last week a series as we walked through this season of Jonah's life. I don't want to say the life of Jonah because this is only a portion of the life of Jonah. We looked last week and saw that Jonah was a prophet of God prior to the writing of the book of Jonah. He was a prophet that God had used. In 2 Kings chapter 14, we saw where his credentials as a prophet were demonstrated as he had pronounced a prophecy and it came true in 2 Kings chapter 14. And Jonah was well known in Israel as a prophet of God, as someone that God used, as someone that God spoke through, and as someone who God followed up on the words that he gave. So Jonah was a prophet. So this is only a season in the life of Jonah. And what we remember, somebody's not happy. And what we remember about Jonah, the only thing we remember about Jonah is the fact that Jonah disobeyed God. And Jonah wound up in the belly of a fish because he disobeyed God. And for too long, that's all we've known about Jonah. And we've thought about the life of Jonah as a life of disobedience, which that is not true. The disobedient part of Jonah's life was only a small season. And that has overshadowed all the life of obedience that Jonah had. And see, too often that happens in our life too. We live a life of obedience. We try to serve the Lord and we love God and we want to follow God. But there comes a season in our life where we rebel. And for too long, the church only knows us for the time that we rebelled. They hold on to our rebellion as that's what we're known for. We know Jonah as the prophet who ran from God and was swallowed up in the belly of the fish, who rebelled from God. And too often, there's many members of the church who have been faithful for many years, but they fail. They rebel for a season of time. They fall into sin or they choose to sin and they just run from God for a while. And that's what we continue to remember them as a rebellious runner from God. And that is not the truth of their life. There are lessons we can learn from this season in Jonah's life, and that's what we're going to look at. But what I want you to remember and what I want you to come away with part of it is that this rebellion is not the sum total of Jonah's life. And we don't need to know Jonah just as the rebellious prophet. We need to know him as a man of God who failed, but God redeemed. And that's true for us too. I don't care where you are in life. Maybe you're in that season of rebellion. Maybe you have a family member that's in that season of rebellion, but you are almost positive. You know that they came to a relationship with the Lord. They love Jesus, but right now they're caught up in sin. They're caught up in running, and they're rebelling from what God wants for them. Don't give up. God is a redeeming God. But also, when they do come back, don't always remind them of their failure. And don't know them by their failure. Know them as one who God has redeemed and been gracious and merciful to, just like He's been gracious and merciful to you. And that's what we need to know about Jonah. This season that we're looking at, yes, he is in rebellion. But God is going to use this rebellion in a way that you could not imagine. God redeems even our waywardness to use for His glory if we will repent and let Him. So, we started last week with this lessons learned from a wayward prophet. And we went through verse 3 where Jonah got the call to go to Nineveh. And he didn't want to go to Nineveh because Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria. And they were hateful, barbaric, godless people. And he did not like them. They were the enemies of Israel at the time. And he didn't want to see them experience God's grace. He didn't want to see them experience God's forgiveness. He didn't want to preach the repentance to this great city. And so he decided to run from the presence of the Lord in verse 3. We're going to pick up in verse 4. So if you would stand with me, and we're going to look at the results of rebellion. Verse 4 says, "The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. And then the sailor became afraid, and every man cried to his God, and they threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea and lightened it for them. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship, lain down and fallen sound asleep. So the captain approached him and said, 'How is it that you're sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will have concern about us so that we will not perish.' Each man said to his mate, 'Come, let us cast lots, and so that we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, 'Tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?' And he said to them, 'I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land.' Then the men became extremely frightened, and they said to him, 'How could you do this?' For this, the men knew that he was fleeing the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. So they said to him, 'What should we do to you that the sea may become calm for us?' For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. And he said to them, 'Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you.' However, the men rowed desperately to return to land, but they could not, for the sea was becoming even stormier against them. Then they called on the Lord and said, 'We earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us, for you, O Lord, have done as you have pleased.' So they picked Jonah up and threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped raising. And the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered sacrifice to the Lord and made vows." You may be seated. Today, the main thing I want you to see, and the thing I think the truth that we can and lesson we can learn from this rebellious prophet, is that rebellion happens, and when rebellion happens, there are consequences. God will not let one of His children run from Him in disobedience. God will not let one of His children live a life away from what God has for them in rebellion and in disobedience without discipline. In Hebrews chapter 12, the writer of Hebrews is writing a truth and writing to the children of God, and he's reminding them that for those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. And we need to understand the discipline of God is motivated by, is an overflow of the love of God. And in Hebrews, I want to continue reading. If you will turn with me for just a second, I want to read through from verse 6 down through verse 11 in Hebrews chapter 12. You can either turn there or you can just listen. It says, "For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son for whom He receives." He's quoting Proverbs chapter 3. "It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you're without discipline, of which all become partakers, then you are an illegitimate child and not sons." Man, that's heavy right there. He says, each of us who are children of God can expect the discipline of God. Why? Because we're sinners. Even though we're saved, we're still going to have seasons of rebellion. We're going to have moments of rebellion. We're going to have times of disobedience. And when we are disobedient to God, because He loves us, He disciplines us. Just like when my children disobeyed. And when I told them something, I told them for a reason. Usually it was so that they would live productive lives, so that they wouldn't do things they shouldn't do. I told them how they were supposed to live. I laid down guidelines and boundaries, just like you as parents do. And when our children disobey what we say, then we discipline them so that they will be productive citizens, so they'll learn that when you disobey what is right, there are consequences for that. And if we're a child of God and we know God is telling us to do something, whether it's a command in His Word or it's something He's telling us we are to do personally in ministry, or we're to do personally in following Him, if we disobey that, we will be disciplined. So all of us who are children of God can expect at some point the discipline of God in our lives. Now, if you're a member of the church, if you have claimed the name of Jesus and you're living in rebellion and you don't feel guilty, there's no sense of condemnation, there's no sense of guilt because you know you're living in disobedience. The moment you realize you're being disobedient, if there is no conviction over that sin, then what the Hebrew writer says, you're not a child of God. If you can live in sin and be happy in it, if you can live in what you know to be the opposite of God's command for your life and God's will for your life, if you can live in rebellion to God and not have conviction over that sin and not feel guilty and not experience the discipline of God's Word, then God says you are not a child of God. He disciplines His children. And there's no child of God who can rebel against God and be happy in the middle of their sin. And be happy in the middle of their running. Because God wants us to be drawn back to Him. He wants us to get back under His authority, where He can bless us, where He can cause us to flourish and cause us to enjoy His presence and obedience to Him. To experience the glory of His presence in our lives. That's the desire of God. The rules that He gives, the things He tells us to do and not to do are for our own good. Look at what the author of Hebrews continues to say. It says, furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respect them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of the spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, what seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good, so that we may share His holiness. Verse 11, all discipline for the moment seems to be not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, by discipline, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So the purpose of God's discipline, when God disciplines us, when God gives us conviction and guilt, and it begins to weigh heavy on us, and we lose our joy, and we're no longer happy in our rebellion, it's for our good that God disciplines. So we will be drawn back to Him. And after that discipline, when we repent, we can experience His blessing and peace and righteousness. And we can live for His glory. So the discipline of God is motivated by the love of God. So everything that's happening to Jonah, he's running from God. He's disobeying the word of God. He jumps on this ship and he takes off, and God sends this great storm. God begins to discipline Jonah. He begins to remind Jonah that he can't run from the presence of God, that he can't rebel from His calling, he can't rebel from the Word of God and be happy and be comfortable. And so we see Jonah in the middle of this storm, in the middle of this running, and rather than repenting, Jonah goes down into the hull of the ship. Now, this word that's used, it's translated the hold of the ship, is called the inner, inaccessible part of the ship. In other words, Jonah's trying to get as far away from God as he can. Man, he's going down in the belly of the ship where people don't go. They store some cargo, and he's even hiding behind the cargo. He's getting as far down in the depths. He's trying to get as far away from God as possible, and he goes to sleep. Rather than repent, he tries to get comfortable in his rebellion. You know, that's the way we do. We know what God wants us to do. We know what the Word of God says we're supposed to do. We know that the boundaries that the Bible places on our lives, they're guardrails to keep us from experiencing all the bad, horrible things of life, to experience the goodness of God's presence and intimacy to Him. But yet, oftentimes, we want to jump those rails and we want to get out there where we know we're not supposed to be. And in the middle of that rebellion, God begins to discipline us. But rather than repent, oftentimes, we run deeper into that sin. We run deeper into that rebellion. We're just determined, I'm going to enjoy this whether God wants me to or not. And in spite of all the turmoil that's going on around us, in spite of the mess that our life is becoming, we get deeper and deeper and deeper in our rebellion because we think God can't forgive me, God won't forgive me, and I'm going to be happy whether He wants me to or not. You know why I can say that is the formula of rebellion? Why I can say that is the habit of rebellious people? Because I've been there. And if you're honest, you've been there. In your season of rebellion, when God began to tug at your heart and God began to convict you of the sin that you're in, and God begins to discipline you and take away your joy and take away His blessing on your life, and you begin to struggle in some ways you've never struggled before, and you begin to experience some things that you know God doesn't want for you, but yet you are not ready to repent, and so you just get deeper and deeper and deeper into that sin, and you get further and further trying to hide from God and trying to force your way into happiness. Doesn't work. God will never let us be happy in our rebellion. God will never let us go undisciplined. God will never give up. Until one day we wind up, we'd rather be dead than repent. What happened to Jonah? Jonah crawls down in the belly of the ship, the most inner part of the ship, trying to hide from the people around him, the people that are in this mess with him, that's caused by him. He's hiding out down there. They're throwing over the cargo. They're praying to their gods. They're trying to figure out how we can fix this mess and why our lives are in such a mess and why is all this happening to us. And they find Jonah hiding out down there. And they bring him out and say, man, get up and start praying to your God. Get up and where are you from? Who are you? Who are your people? Why is this happening? And Jonah confesses, takes responsibility. Says, look, this is happening because of me. I'm a Hebrew, and I fear Yahweh. I fear the Lord. And notice how he identified God. He didn't say, the one who created all things. He said, I serve the Lord who created the sea and the land. Because think about it, these sailors have known the sea all their lives. They've known storms all their lives. But never in their life have they been so ready to be on dry land than they are right now. The God who created the seas and dry land. The one who created this mess that we're in, but he also created the place where we can find peace and rest. And in his confession, he says, guys, I'm running from the presence of the Lord, and I know this is why this is happening, because I have been rebelling against God, and I have brought this distress. I have brought this storm. God's punishing me, and you guys are just in the wake of my destruction and in the midst of my discipline. Here's the truth. I want a lesson I want you to hear, because I had to learn this the hard way. Your rebellion doesn't affect only you. There's no such thing as a sin that only affects me. Your rebellion will affect every relationship, every person, every family member that's on that boat with you. Your rebellion, the choices that you make, affect everybody that's on the ship with you, and it will destroy their lives just as easy as it's destroying yours. There's so much collateral damage that's done when a child of God rebels. Marriages are destroyed. Children wind up being in separate homes, spending a a few days with mom here, a few days with dad there. When the sin started, the rebellion started, dad or mom thought, well, this is just between me, or this is just between me and my spouse. No, it affects your whole family. Many people will say, well, I'm doing what I'm doing. I ain't hurting nobody else. It's just, if it kills me, it kills me. No, it's affecting everybody you know. It affects your parents. It affects your children. It affects your cousins. It affects your grandparents. It affects everyone. Everyone is in the middle of this storm and this mess with you because of your rebellion. There is no such thing as a personal sin. Yeah, it's personal because you rebelled against God, but it drags everybody into the mess with you. Everybody that cares about you, everybody that loves you, everybody that wants to see you flourish, everybody that has invested in you. Church, there's no such thing as a private sin in church. The Bible describes us as members of the same body. When one member is exalted, we're all exalted. When one member is sick, we're all sick. When one member is doing well, we're all doing well. When one member is hurt, we all hurt. You can say, my sin is just about me. No, it affects this whole body. It affects the character, not the character, but the way the world sees God. Because you, as a professing Christian. So as Jonah is fleeing, he is the one that's running from God. He is the one that's in rebellion. He is the one that's trying to run from the presence of God. And he's getting as far as he can in the belly of this ship, trying to hide from God. But yet everybody else is experiencing the trouble that he's brought on them. Everybody else is experiencing the horror and the hardship that this brings on them just because Jonah is in rebellion. And hear me, your rebellion will cause effects in your family and in your loved ones that you never intended. You will not experience the hardship alone. So what Jonah do? When he's finally outed, and this is a truth that you need to hear too, we can hide our sin, we can try and keep it to ourselves, and we can hide in the belly of the ship trying to get as far away from God as we can, but God will out us. God will not let you sin in secret. God will not let you hide in the darkness. What's done in the dark, he says, will come out in the light. What's whispered in secret will be proclaimed from the housetops. You may get away for a while, but God will out you. That's what he did with Jonah. They had no clue why all this was happening. But they began to cast lots. Now, an Old Testament thing, and it wasn't just for the people of God, but many religions would cast lots, and their God would divinely show how who was going on or what he would guide the lots, and they would be used to determine what the gods thought. Well, we see that in the Urim and Thummim that God used in the Old Testament. He would roll the dice, roll these lots to see. Jonah is outed by God through the lot. And so he begins to confess, this is the problem, this is what's going on, I know it's my fault, and I know I'm running from God, I know I'm doing what I'm not supposed to do. He takes ownership of it, but he never takes responsibility of it. He says, I tell you what, just pick me up and throw me overboard, and the sea will calm. Jonah said, I'd rather die than admit my responsibility. I'd rather die than repent. This is how far away from God he had gotten personally. This is how much he had let the sin of bias and bigotry and hatred overwhelm him. I would rather die than repent. There were moments in my rebellion that I was the same way. God, just kill me. I know I'm doing wrong. I can't get happy. I know I'm making a mess of my family. I know I'm making a mess of all this stuff, and the people around me are struggling in ways they shouldn't have to struggle, but it's because of me. But God, just kill me. I'd rather you kill me because I know you don't love me anymore. I don't want to do what you want me to do. I'd rather die than be a minister. I'd rather die than submit to you. So he says, just pick me up. Throw me in the ocean. Jonah had no clue there was a fish waiting. Jonah had no idea there was a whale there. Nobody had ever been swallowed by a whale and lived. Nobody had ever been thrown in the ocean in the middle of a storm and left there and expect to live. His desire was, throw me in the ocean and let me die. Get this over with. But God had different plans. See, Jonah wasn't at the bottom yet. Jonah hadn't hit rock bottom yet. Jonah wasn't ready to repent yet. But God's desire is repentance. And what I want you to hear today, as we think about these lessons that we've learned, number one, there's no such thing as a private sin. That God will always discipline His children when they rebel. And that His discipline is always an act of love and is always to bring us to repentance. How long that takes is up to us. So here's how I want you to pray for your own life, or if you've got a family member that you know is in rebellion. It's a hard prayer. I've had to pray it. I've had to pray it with parents. I've had to pray it with husbands and wives. But I think it's a prayer that honors God. God, this person knows they're not living right. God, we can see your hand of discipline on them, and we understand they're not ready to repent yet. So God, get them to the bottom quick. In your mercy and your grace, get them to rock bottom fast so they'll get to the place where they're ready to repent, whatever that looks like. For Jonah, it was a whale spending 3 nights and 3 days in the belly of a fish. At that point, he was ready to repent. As a child of God, sometimes in our hard-headedness, sometimes in our hard-heartedness, God has to get us to rock bottom where we have lost everything. And the only hope we have is to cry out to Jesus. That's a hard place to be. It's not a comfortable place to be. It's not a fun place to be. But as a child of God, that's the best place to be. It's when our heart is ready to repent and cry out to the one who loves us. So if you've got this loved one, you've got this friend, you've got this relative, this family member, whoever, it may even be you. Church, I want us to pray, God, get them to the bottom quick. Open their eyes to your love and your grace. But God, get them to where it's out of their control. It's beyond their ability. They're so miserable, they can't do anything. They would rather die than to live. And God, get them there fast and show up strong. Because the discipline of God on Jonah's life was so that Jonah would repent and get back under the authority of God. The discipline on your life, the discipline that your loved one or relative may be going through right now, the hardship, the struggle they're facing, maybe because God is disciplining them in love and trying to get them to repent. Repentance is the key to restoration. God is always, always ready to hear the prayer from the heart of repentance. Let's don't define Jonah's life by this one season. But let's learn from it. Maybe you're just in the beginning of rebellion. You know God wants you to do something. You know God's teaching you something. You know what God's Word says about your situation and how you should handle it and what you should do. You know, but yet you're beginning to choose, well, this is what I want to do anyway. Hear the warning. Your rebellion will bring God's discipline. And God's discipline will affect way more than just you. And there's going to be a lot of lives that are put in peril, a lot of lives that are turned upside down, a lot of lives that are going to be destroyed because of your rebellion. Please take their lives in account. Your children, your spouse, your friends, your family, all of them. All of them are going to experience the devastation of your rebellion in some way or another. And it'll be way more than you think. But also here, God is gracious. And the moment you repent, the moment you turn back, God will receive you in forgiveness. And church, those we know that are in rebellion, we need to be ready to restore them when they repent. We need to be ready to bring them back and love them like God loves them when they repent. And not let their life be identified by this season of rebellion that they may be in now. Lead them, love them, walk with them as they're restored and as God continues to use them for His glory. We are to be part of that restoration. Pray, pray, pray. I don't know where you are. I don't know what season of life you're in. Some of you I do, many of you I don't. But hear the Word of God today. Submit. Repent if you need to. But get back under God's authority. And when you're tempted to rebel, remember the reality. Rebellion brings discipline. Discipline brings destruction to more lives than you ever thought it would. It can all be avoided by just saying yes to Jesus. Let's stand.